This is, it's frankly Birmingham's best duo for Auburn conversation, Atlanta's best duo for Auburn conversation, Nashville's best duo, New Orleans, Montgomery, Mobile.
The world's.
Yeah, I like the way
you put it. World's best duo for Auburn conversation is right here.
That's Village Vice. See, Zach, I'm Brad. We know that it's been a while since Auburn's had a 1,000-yard receiver. Gets talked about every year. I mean, we had Shane Hooks going for 1,000 3 years ago.
My worst take of all time.
My probably most glaring example of toxic positivity that I don't embrace. I embrace most of it. Not that one. But we do. We find a way every year to get a guy 1,000, don't we?
Yeah. This year, I don't think we get one.
I don't either.
And I think it'll be actually by design.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's spread out too much. And I think it's a little tougher to do in the league because, if you got one really dominant, you almost have to have two or three guys capable of doing it in order to get one there. Because defenses have gotten so good now at being able to take away or at least limit consistently week after week after week if you only have one.
Yeah, it also matters like how many games you play, right? Like all these really good and prolific receivers are playing in the playoff, but they've also played, you know, three more games than everybody else do. Yeah. So there are definitely factors that go into it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like you're a KLS, Brad Law. You're a good point.
Thanks, Zach. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So the next round, really good Alabama show out of Birmingham, put out a graphic that listed exactly how long Power Four teams have gone without a 1,000-yard receiver. And
what did it say?
What's wrong? What?
Nothing.
What is wrong with that?
Wrong.
They do a wonderful job.
They do, yeah.
They do a great job.
Big fan of all of them, 100%.
Do a great job for what they are. So.
They are. What are you doing?
So they list the Power Four teams with the longest 1,000-yard receiver droughts. And again, to nobody's surprise, Auburn leads the list. They're the longest.
Were you surprised we were the longest?
No.
I was a little surprised that we were the longest drought. I knew we'd be up there. I also thought there might be a chance that like some schools never had one. I don't know. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I thought there'd be one, but nope. It's us.
It's us. And like Auburn hasn't had a 1,000-yard receiver since Kirk Ferentz's first year as Iowa's head coach.
Okay. All right.
Which by the way, think about how odd it is, and I don't mean for Iowa to catch strays here, but for any Power Four school to have a coach go to his 27th year, he's been there 27 years. That's unheard of. Kirk Ferentz, this is not a Kirk Ferentz show, but he has survived a stretch where he went 8-5, 7-6, and 4-8. They did that in 10, 11, and 12.
I mean, if a guy stays there that long, which I don't know why we're doing this, but if a guy's staying there that long, you have to wonder, like, do they really care about championships or do they just kind of like being there?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. They won the West in the Big Ten 3 years ago and 5 years ago. They've had some success. But, it makes you wonder, what's the ultimate goal? What's the ultimate ceiling? And can you get there?
It seems like Iowa people don't like him. So yeah, I talked to Trent Condon a good bit. I think he's the voice when it comes to, covering Iowa since we're doing this right now.
I didn't expect this today.
I keep expecting it to end and it just doesn't. But, I saw a meme that it's like if somebody hits you with, the iMessage, like you like a message or you heart a message, it's them wanting to end the conversation. If this was a text conversation, I would have hearted it after you said Kirk Ferentz's first year at Iowa. I would have hearted that message or given you an exclamation mark.
All right, so let's move on.
And that would have been it.
Let's go on.
You can't heart a message in real life dialogue, sadly.
I know. You can, though, because you can say it just like you just did. And so we're going to move right on. Behind Auburn, the next two longest teams without a 1,000-yard receiver also come from the SEC.
Ooh.
And this surprised me. Georgia and Florida. Neither one has had a 1,000-yard receiver since 2002. Like George Pickens didn't do it at Georgia.
Yeah.
Terrence Edwards in 2002 is the last 1,000-yard receiver at Georgia. Taylor Jacobs, Florida. This is Florida.
Wait, hold on.
This is
2002. AJ Green didn't do it?
No.
That's insane.
Despite going just dog wild on Auburn, like a lot of number one receivers did in 2010. I remember CBS using the graphic with Alshon Jeffrey and AJ and Julio Jones, and it seemed like there were two or three other wide receiver ones that just had huge games against
his Auburn. Freshman year was his best year. 963, then 808, then 848. Wow, that's insane. That's crazy. Yeah,
think about some of the guys they've had at Georgia. Think about Florida, Riedel Anthony, and
who's the last one at Florida to do it?
Taylor Jacobs in 2002. Like they had Rashay Caldwell and Jabbar Gaffney and Travis McGriff and Jacquez Green. They had all these guys in the 90s under Spurrier, and their last 1,000-yard receiver. And this goes to tell you a little bit about what identity does for an offense. Their last 1,000-yard receiver came the year after Spurrier left.
That's insane. That's crazy.
Urban Meyer didn't have a 1,000-yard receiver. He had two national title teams. Neither one of them had a 1,000-yard receiver.
Yeah. All right. Wow.
I found that interesting that
is
Florida
interesting.
And Georgia have gone. You know who's gone? Let's see. Other droughts. Georgia Tech, 2009. I mean, half of that time they ran triple option.
Who would have been it in 2009? Is that Demaryius Thomas?
Yes. Very good. Very good, Zach. 2009's also Kansas had a 1,000-yard receiver in 2009. I'm a little more shocked that it's been as recent as that.
Who was that?
Desmond Briscoe.
Okay. I don't know who that is.
Couldn't tell you. Let's see. Cincinnati has been 2010. Armin Benz.
Okay.
And actually, interestingly enough, 2011.
I'm surprised Alec Pierce didn't do it at Cincinnati.
Yeah, me too. Shocked. And then Iowa hasn't had one since 2011.
Who is Iowa's?
Well, the great Marvin McNutt.
Who?
Marvin McNutt.
Man, if we had a guy on our team named McNutt that was good, I can't imagine. We wouldn't be able to do a show.
What if Keaton McNutt were an all-SEC?
I don't think we'd be able to do a show.
I think that's the only show we'd ever do, Zach. I think people get tired of that show. Man, the sponsorships, though, like the Alabama peanut farmers, it'd be all over.
Yeah, there. Manscaped, yeah.
Well, yeah, that too. Okay. Vanderbilt and Texas A&M have also gone the longest on this list. I mean, Jordan Matthews, 2013, Vanderbilt, right. And Josh Reynolds, 2016. Texas A&M had a run there for a little while, but they've been 10 years now without a 1,000-yard receiver.
Well, surprised they didn't have one the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. So,
wait, when was their last one?
A&M, 2016.
That wasn't Mike Evans, was it? They've had somebody since Mike Evans do it?
Yeah, Josh Reynolds did it in 2016.
Oh, you just said Josh Reynolds. Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah, there you go.
Is Auburn's next 1,000-yard receiver on this roster today?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't think the scheme sets up for it.
Did Tennessee have one?
I assume Hyatt did. I'm assuming.
That would make sense.
West Tennessee's last year to have a 1,000-yard receiver on that.
It doesn't. This particular next round linked graphic doesn't have that. That's the extent of my prep for this at the moment. I'm going to look up Jalen Hyatt.
Yep. Jalen Hyatt had 1,267 in 2022.
Sure did. So it's not like this offense doesn't produce 1,000-yard receivers.
And something worth noting, I didn't notice this, But in 2020, he had 276. In 2021, he had 226. And then in 2022, he had 1,267. So just think about that with some of these role players. You know, you can take a nice big jump in this scheme and this system under Alex Golish. So,
boy, we were talking about Bryce Kane on yesterday's show.
Yeah.
And that's the epitome, isn't it, of role player to potential 100%. Breakout, maybe.
100%. I don't know if you're going to get that much out of the slot, but I do think you're going to you can see a big jump for sure.
Hendon Hooker, by the way, that year passed for 3,100 yards, 22. This is Hyatt's 1,000-yard season. Passed for 3,000, rushed for 430.
Yep.
They're two running back. Now, if you want to look at SEC caliber talent, SEC defenses.
Yeah, I think it'll look more like Tennessee than it did USF.
All right. So now we go to the importance of stacking the running back room. Okay. That year, Jalen Wright, 875, 6 yards a carry, 10 touchdowns. Jabari Small, 734, 13 touchdowns. Your top two running backs had 1,600 yards and 23 touchdowns.
Small last name, large production.
Yeah, sure.
Back to you, Brad.
Kind of like speak softly and carry a big stick.
Yeah, just like that.
Just like that. Just Precision like Precision Tune Auto Care. I want to give them a shout out because safety matters. Daily commute, kids' car, road trip vehicle. They take a safety-first approach to everything they do. Every visit includes full digital inspection. You know exactly what condition your vehicle's in. No rushing. No cutting corners. Just honest recommendations you can trust. Locally owned, proud to
What's
serve.
What's the situation, Brad, where, okay, I should take my car to Precision Tune Auto Care?
You're in a situation like that now?
No, what's a situation where you should?
Well, if you hear, like, for example, randomly, a strange noise. Yeah, if your car sounds like a garbage disposal on the fritz, sure.
If your car is making that noise, you need to take it to Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika.
Absolutely. Mention Village Vice when you go, by the way. Mention the barn. Yeah, if it sounds like a bad beatboxer, you need to take it to Precision Tune Auto Care and get it looked at right away.
Yeah, they'll be like, oh, that's the bad beatboxer issue. Yeah. We can fix that for you. And you'll say, okay, great.
We see that all the time.
That's low-key fire, bro.
Bro, we see that all the time. Full stop.
That one's the funniest to me. Full stop.
You know, I've used full stop unironically a couple of times since we had that conversation.
It's contagious.
It is. It is.
And it feels kind of good to say.
Well,
mine is no cap. Saying no cap, it feels good. I'm just going to say it. It feels good.
See, full stop I can do pretty naturally. No cap doesn't sound right for me. That's just for me.
Everybody's sure. Different. And it may not sound right, but it feels good.
It feels good. Yeah, sure.
I didn't say it made me sound better, but it did make me feel good. No cap.
That's what matters most of the time.
That's right.
You know what would make me feel really good today, Zach?
A hug.
Well, always. Yeah. I'm a hug guy. I'm a big hugger.
Next time you see Brad Law in public, someone hug him.
Do you like hugs, in all honesty, or are you a little weird about hugs?
No, love hugs.
Okay. I irrationally dislike side hugs.
So on me and Leah, who's now my wife's, our first date, she side hugged me, and I bring it up to this day.
As you should.
And she says, no, I didn't. And I'm like, you did, because I thought about it for the next like 24 hours. I'm like, did I mess up that bad? I thought it went well.
At the end, it was at the end, not a greeting side hug?
No, it was, hey, this was great. Let's do it again sometime. Side hug.
And then side hug. No, that will, I could understand. I'd be up
that'll,
all night.
That'll wreck with a man. You know what I mean?
You sure will.
Yeah.
Yeah. A side hug. Hug is a sign and not a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's abolish side hugs. Let's get rid of those.
Yeah.
How about
the last time you side hug somebody, Brad?
Oh, it's been a while.
I want the answer. When's the last time you side hug someone?
If you're going to side hug somebody, just don't hug. Either hug them or forget the whole thing.
Yeah. I think I would rather just give you a little like nux, you know what I mean? Like
absolutely.
Than a side hug.
Yeah. If we're not going to actually hug, let's just not even do it. What are we even here for?
Mm-hmm.
So Kirk Ferentz talk and hug talk. Two things I didn't realize were coming today.
Right.
All right. This basketball team needs to win a game. We need to stop talking about this team like it's last year's team. We need to stop talking about it like it's expected to boat race. Mississippi, this is a 12-13 matchup. These teams have earned the 12 and 13 seeds. It should be a close game. And Auburn should win. Because they're a better team, I think, front to back. But I don't think we're talking about the team like it's last year or 2 years ago or 3 years ago or 4 years ago. And I just don't think that's the right way to approach this game. They're 14th nationally in offensive efficiency. And they're the 12th seed in the SEC tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't believe it. Not to repeat Monday's show, but I still don't believe, I can't believe how, I don't understand how that happens. Other than just a willful neglect of defense.
Yeah, no, the whole thing is, I mean, this basketball team has been frustrating, right? Like, yeah. I can't imagine Steven's situation with all this. Like, whether it's buy-in, whether it's effort, whether it's just not clicking at any point this season or down the stretch anyway.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of teams, especially when we've talked all year about how this is a team built to, like, peak towards the end of the year.
Yep.
I just can't imagine. I thought the win in Gainesville would have, like, solidified this group.
Yeah.
And it didn't. If anything, did they get cocky after that? Did they think that they had it in the bag after that? Like, I don't know. But just thinking about how we felt after that Florida win to now, it's just.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, Brad, it's two different teams.
No, it is. And we've talked about them having lulls in games. You know, they'll play a great 25 minutes, but 15, where do they go? Or kind of spacing out the last 3 or 4 minutes of a half or the first 3 or 4 minutes of a game. It's the consistency. It's the lack of consistency. And that's played out over the schedule. Played really great for 3 weeks, but not sustained. And I think you may be onto something. It's like when you win at Florida, you now have this belief, well, we could beat anybody anywhere. Yes.
Still got to do it.
You still have to prepare on Sunday and Monday for that Tuesday game with the same intensity.
How did the Creed thing go during the baseball broadcast last night?
I think it went really well. By the way, how good is this baseball team?
They're very good.
Cincinnati is a top 5 RPI team. Don't think a lot of people realize that. UAB top 15 coming into the game last night.
UAB was top 15 in RPI?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, they were.
And Auburn beat them 17-2 in 7 innings.
Blasted them.
Right from the – it's another game. It's like 6 out of the last 7 they've scored in the first inning now.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting on top of teams. And then
they get on you quick. I mean, a lot of that's Bristol Carter, right? I mean, it was them just leading off. I mean, that guy's got it going on offensively.
Listen to this stat. Shout out George Nunnally in the athletic communications office.
He is a goat.
Absolutely.
True legend.
In the last 11 games, 24 of the 33 times Bristol has gotten on base. So, like, he's homered. So, either touch first or stand on first base. 24 of the last 33 times that's happened, he has scored.
Wow.
That's ridiculous is what it is.
That is ridiculous. I mean, credit to the guys in lineup behind him. I mean, some of that's been Rimbert. Some of that has been, I guess, Frelick, Bub. I mean, these other guys are getting him home, which is great. I think Cade Ballou is up there some evenings. So, yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
Starting to see the power come out, too. Like, the last two games, about half the hits have been extra base hits. 4 home runs last night. Lucas Steele got a grand slam.
Crazy.
It was phenomenal. So, yeah, the Creed thing last night. We got Practical World pretty easily. We got Education. We got Honesty, Truthfulness. We got Sound Mind. We got Obedience to Law. We even got Human Touch. We didn't get, I believe, In My Country. I was waiting on the seventh inning stretch for that. I was going to talk about how the great American traditions that we have and America's pastime. But the game ended. And so I didn't, and then I kind of forgot the final call being, because Auburn men and women believe these things. I believe in Auburn and love it. So, but we got most of them.
That's awesome.
And let me tell you, the chat was monitoring last night too on the YouTube.
They're keeping score, huh?
Yeah, they were.
It's crazy that that chat has become a carryover of this show. I love it. I love it so much.
No, I see a lot of the same people. A lot of the same folks from our Friday lives are also watching the midweek live baseball feed.
That's great. So you guys head to Missouri tomorrow?
Yes. Yeah, the boy and I are going separate from the team because I didn't want him to be around all the bro and bruh talk. No, just...
Oh, he'd love it.
We just had to schedule it different. That's not why.
Oh, he'd
love being
it.
Around the guys. I love being around the guys.
Full stop.
Full stop.
No cap.
No cap. No.
Low-key fire.
But we're going to have some more of that. We leave out early tomorrow.
I got to tell you, this morning was a big deal in the Blackerby household, and I bet in households across America. Do you know what happened today? Are you aware of what happened this morning?
Please tell me.
There's a chance it happened last night, but for us, it happened this morning. Do you know?
No, I don't know. How would I know?
I don't know. You got kids? I don't know. Zootopia 2 is now available on Disney Plus.
All right, that does it for today's show. I'm headed home. No, that's my daughter's favorite movie right now. In fact, if no other movie existed.
Let's go watch it. We're out of here.